morning. It's good to see everyone this morning.
We appreciate your presence, and as Phil has already mentioned, we're grateful for all of our visitors, and we're glad that you're here. While I'm thinking about it, this evening at 6 p.m., we want to study God and racism. It is a topic that is on the minds of a lot of individuals today, and I hope that our study from God's Word will help us to have a better understanding of that. So if you know of someone that might benefit from that topic, invite them to come this evening. It's good to be with you. It's good to be able to sing and pray and study God's Word and partake of the Lord's Supper to contribute. And I'm glad that we live in a land that we have these freedoms, that we can come together as brethren, and that's certainly encouraging. There may have been times in your life when you go to fix something and you make it harder than it really has to be. I know that that's happened in my life. Maybe that's happened in yours. Do you remember the statement we had years ago? Kiss, keep it simple, stupid. Remember that? Simple, a lot of times, is better. And this morning, I want us to consider three simple reasons why we need to obey the gospel. I think obedience is something that we talk about a lot, and we should, and rightly so. And in our scripture reading this morning in Romans chapter 6, those in Rome, when the gospel was presented to them, obeyed from the heart the form of teaching that was delivered unto them. And we talk a lot about obedience. And Jesus in Hebrews 5 is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. And we talk a lot about the necessity of obedience. But I want to look this morning at why. Why obey? We explore the what a lot of times, but this morning I want to explore the why. And I want to keep it simple. Sometimes we make things harder than it has to be. I have fixed things and made it harder than it had to be. You spend more money than you have to spend. You spend more time than you have to spend. You spend more energy than you have to spend. And you realize later there was a more simple solution. The simple answer is often the better answer. The simple response is often the better response. The simple solution is often the better solution. So this morning, I want us to consider three simple reasons why we need to obey. And we're going to see this morning when we talk about obedience, we're talking about all of us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you'll turn with me there, let's just review briefly this morning the importance of understanding what we mean by the gospel. Gospel simply means good news, and basically the good news is that we can have forgiveness of sins, and I'm sure we all want that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when Paul was writing to the Corinthian brethren, he says, "Now I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, wherein also you stand." And notice that Christians still need the gospel. We'll come back to that in just a minute. We have to keep, as Christians, standing in the gospel. The gospel is not just for sinners. The gospel is also for saints. But look at verse 2, "By which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached unto you, except you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, this gospel I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures," and other things mentioned there, His burial and resurrection and being witnessed by others. The gospel. Christ died for our sins. It's good news, and we should all want that. And when Jesus sent out His apostles in Mark 16 to go preach the gospel to every creature, clearly He's talking about sinners, those who need to be baptized into Christ. They need to have their sins washed away. And so the apostles were to go preach the gospel to everyone. And so clearly the gospel is for sinners. But if you'll turn in Romans chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul, writing to Christians, he writing to the saints at Rome, said that he wanted to come to Rome and preach the gospel to those who are already Christians. And so the gospel is for saints just as much as it is for sinners. Verse 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you. Who are the you? Verse 6 and 7, saints, Christians in Rome. So all of us this morning need the gospel. The gospel is not just the plan of salvation. The gospel is everything from Matthew to Revelation. It's everything that we need to know to become a Christian and remain faithful as a Christian. So this morning is, why obey? Why obey the gospel? Why do sinners need to come and repent and be baptized into Christ? And why do the rest of us, as members of the Lord's church, why do we need to keep living faithfully each and every day? I just want to share with you this morning three simple reasons to do that. It's not complicated. We don't have to have a long list that's difficult to memorize and keep up with. It's not something that is hard to understand and insurmountable that we can't overcome it. Why obey? If we're here this morning and we need to be baptized, consider three simple reasons why you need to do that. And as a child of God this morning, as we go out this week as Christians, three simple reasons why we need to keep obeying the gospel. Number one, we need to obey the gospel because it's how we show our love. First thing to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. We need to obey the gospel because it's how we show our love. Sometimes we'll sing songs, "Oh, how I love Jesus." You ever sing that song? It's a great song. We talk about loving God and we talk about loving Jesus. Do you know that obedience is the way you show that love? We turn talk into action when we go out and obey. This is the love of God, John writes, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. When we obey each and every day, we show our love. Those who do not obey cannot say that they love themselves, and I'll talk about that in a minute, or God. If you're not obeying today, you can't truly say, "I love Jesus and I love God." You can't really say that. Stop and think about that. If we were to take a poll this morning and say, raise your hand if you love God, everybody's hand would go up. Well, the way you show that is you obey. And if I'm not obeying, I'm not loving. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 24. Here's a great example of biblical love. True love is not just words. And we need to remember this in our marriage. Love is used for marriage in Ephesians 5. We need to remember this between parents and children. Love is used for parents and children in Titus chapter 2. Love between brethren. True love is not just words, it's not just saying some things, it shows itself in action. And here's a great example of it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, when Paul is writing about the contribution that the Corinthian brethren were to be gathering together for the needy saints in Judea. And they had known for some time that Paul wanted them to gather this contribution together and get it ready. And it was a way that they had showed their love toward these needy brethren. Look at verse chapter 8 and verse 24. Show therefore unto them in the face of the churches the proof of your love and of our glorying on your behalf. Get this contribution ready. Send it with those of the churches. You can read about that in the previous section, verses 16 through 24. Let those brethren take your contribution to the needy saints. Show the proof of your love. Underscore that in your Bible. The proof of your love. Love is not just words. We have to prove it. We have to show it. It's not just something we say. Well, I love my brother. I love my wife. I love my husband. I love my children. It's not just words. It can start with words, and we need to say those words. It's good to say, I love you. But it's beyond that. Show the proof of your love. When we have true love, it shows itself. So, let's talk about that with regard to obedience to the gospel. One simple reason why we need to obey every day is so that we can truly say, I love God and I love Jesus. And I'm showing it, I'm giving the proof of it in my obedience. Let's start with ourselves. Do you love yourself? I'm not talking about 2 Timothy 3, lovers of self or selfishness. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, do you have a good self-esteem? Do you realize that you're made in the image of God and you realize you have a soul that you want to take care of? Sure. Well, the way you show that you really love yourself is you'll take care of what's most important inside of you and inside of me, and that's our soul. And we'll obey. If I were to ask this morning, do you love yourself? Everybody would raise their hand. There's not a person here that says, oh, I just hate myself. No, we love ourselves. We appreciate ourselves. We know our self-worth and our self-value. Well, here's how you show it. You get up and you obey. Now, what do I mean by that? In Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, he said, save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. Get up and do something. Save yourselves. He had told them earlier to repent and be baptized. And there were those that had gladly received his word, about 3,000, they were baptized. Why? Because they realized, hey, I'm lost. And I've got a soul. And I love myself enough to get up and have those sins washed away in baptism. It's a way that we show our love, first of all, toward ourself. Here's another example of self-love. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Not selfishness. That's something different. That's something we want to avoid. But we're talking this morning. Turn with me to Ephesians 5 with regard to the husband and the wife. We need to have a self-appreciation, a self-worth. Look at Ephesians 5 and verse 28. Even so ought husbands also to love their own wives as their own bodies. Look at this. He that loveth his own wife loveth himself. That's how I'm using it this morning, the way Paul used it. Look at the last part of that verse. You love your wife as you love yourself. What does that mean? Well, that means the husband, I take care of myself. Well, I take care of my wife. I appreciate myself, so I appreciate my wife. I make sure that I'm healthy and that I'm spiritually right. And so I'm going to make sure that those are taken care of in my wife. I love my wife as I love myself, a self-worth. A self-appreciation, where we want to take care of ourselves. And what more to take care of than our own soul? You know, there are many, many people who just get up every day and they're just concerned about the physical things of this life. You know, their job and their school and their things. But they don't obey. They don't really love themselves enough to get up and take care of what's important, their soul. One reason why we obey is so that we can say that we truly love ourselves and that we love God. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11 and verse 42. Do you really love God? Do I really love God? Everybody would say yes to that. Well, then we show it in obedience. I think a lot of people think about loving God, but they don't want to show their love and obedience. Jesus is speaking to some religious Jews here who claim to love God. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint, rue, which is another herb that had medicinal purposes to it. You count out these little leaves, every herb, but you pass over justice and the love of God. You're really good at counting out leaves, but you pass over the love of God. Now, if Jesus were to ask them, do you love God? They'd all raise their hand. But they weren't obeying God. Let's look at another example of this in John chapter 5 and verse 42. John 5, 42. But I know you. Again, speaking to the religious Jews of the day. Many of them went to the temple every week. They went through the motions and all of that. But I know you that you have not the love of God in yourselves. I am come in my Father's name and you receive me not. You don't love God. If you loved God, you would love the one whom God sent. You don't love God. You don't obey. We see the same thing in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. It's those who love God, all things work together for good. And the same in James chapter 2 and verse 5. We obey because it's the way we show our love for God. Turn with me to John chapter 8 and verse 42. The reason we obey is so that when we do sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," we really mean it. You see, obedience is the way we show our love. In John chapter 8 and verse 42, Jesus again speaking to the religious group of His day, Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came forth and am come from God." You would love me. Look at chapter 14 and verse 15. We're very familiar with these passages where Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." One command is to repent and be baptized. Raise your hand. Do you love Jesus? "Oh, I love Jesus." Well, then you're going to get up and keep that commandment. You see? Do we really love? Or has it become just words? Obedience is the way that we show our love toward Jesus Christ. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And that's true for us as Christians. We enjoy keeping the commandments Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 7. It doesn't matter if you're circumcised or not. What's important is keeping the commandments. That's a great lesson right there. Well, why? I show my love when I do that. Turn with me to chapter 15 and verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Even Jesus showed his love toward his Father by keeping the commandments. So number one, just very simple. We obey because it's how we show our love. Number two, we obey because we want to enjoy the Christian life now. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10. There are so many people who are missing out on the absolute best life in the world. I make no apology for saying that the absolute best life is the Christian life. It's not the life without God. It's not the hedonistic, live it up, party life. It's not the life of agnosticism and skepticism and hedonism. It's not the life of naturalism where we're all just evolved animals. The absolute best life is the Christian life. And when we fail to obey, we miss out on that great life. Every day that goes by, we miss out on what it could be to be a fulfilled Christian. We miss out on the physical and spiritual blessings that are provided through Jesus Christ. We just miss out on that. We let it go by when we could have it in our life, in our marriage, in our parenting, in our service. Jesus said after the rich young ruler had walked away, and he could have had this life, "There is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel's sake." Underscore that. Why obey the gospel?
If I obey the gospel, verse 30, he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Underscore that in your Bible. Yes, we talk about heaven a lot. And heaven is a great reward. And it is one of those incentives for being a Christian. But there are things that are now in this life. And when we fail to obey, we miss out on that. It's like having a smorgasbord or a banquet set out there and we just walk by and don't take advantage of it. If there was a banquet and I was right by it, I probably would not walk by it without picking something off there. You probably would too. You'd see something you like and you'd grab something. I would. And the Christian life is like a banquet table. And yet, because we don't obey, we just walk by and don't partake of that. Why? He goes on to say, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution. Jesus is a realist. Realistically, there's going to be some hard times, but there are blessings that come from being a Christian, and in the world to come, here's your heaven, eternal life. But there are things now that we can have. Jesus brought life, life, and immortality to light through the gospel. He brought it to light. It's available to us. Life. Do you remember when Jesus said in John chapter 10, I came, turn with me to John chapter 10. I came that they may have life. What did he say? And have it, what? Abundantly. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Verse 10. Everybody's got life. Everybody in Clarksville has a life. They have some kind of life. Everybody gets up and puts their clothes on and eats breakfast and does stuff. Jesus said, I came that they may have life. Well, everybody already had a life when he came. A different kind of life, a different quality of life, and that they could have life in abundance. Other than just the getting up and going through the routine, it's a different kind and quality of life. That's what Jesus came to give us. And he stands ready to do that if we'll obey him. Those who do not obey miss the joy of being a Christian. It's just a simple reason to obey. You might have some great things going on in your life, but you can't say that you're a Christian. And when we miss out on that, we've missed out on everything there is that this life is to be about. We've missed the very thing that this life is to be about, being a Christian. Paul talks about in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8 that godliness has the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. The life that now is. And I would encourage all of us to obey and get busy living that blessed Christian life. I don't have time this morning to list all of the things that we have, but forgiveness of sins, starting with repentance and baptism, you get your prayers answered. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, turn with me there, we can have forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. And even if we err as a child of God, we can repent and pray and be forgiven again. What a blessed privilege that is, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, Ephesians 1, 7. And when a Christian sins, that blood still flows, 1 John 1, 7 through 9, we can be forgiven by that blood. We have answered prayers. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. Verse 14, and this is the boldness which we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. We don't have that if we're not obeying. The proverb talks about that God doesn't hear us when we've turned our ears away from the law. We don't have that when we don't obey, but we do
We have answered prayers when we obey.
Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. We have joy and peace, and even though we have difficult times, there's still that inner joy and that inner peace. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. I saw Reggie and Lindy the other day at the hospital, and they were talking about how terrible this situation was with Christopher. And they had gotten some news that was sort of a setting back situation. They had gone in and started the operation and realized that Christopher had lost some neurological movement in one of his legs. So the doctor's backing off and said, well, we're just going to wait on this a little bit. And so it's a setback. It was a problem. It was a hurdle. And Reggie and Lindy were basically saying, but we know the Lord will take care of him. And where does that come from? Living the Christian life. So we can rejoice in the Lord always, even when our son is going through a difficult situation in the hospital. And we can have that peace, verse 7, which passes all understanding. We don't have that when we don't obey. Look at the world around you. It's sad. The heartache and the stress and the trial and the not knowing where to turn. Lives all turned upside down. But when we obey, we have the blessings of the Christian life. A spiritual family. Brothers and sisters in Christ in the local church that can rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Romans chapter 12. We have guidance from God's Word. And we can rely upon it each and every day. Like Jesus said in Matthew 4 and verse 4, that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We have guidance. You know anybody in this town that needs some guidance? They don't know up from down, left from right, right from wrong, good from bad. They're just all over the place. They need some direction. They need some focus. They need some help. They could have that if they would obey. Why obey? Just simply because it's the way we can enjoy the Christian life now. And then third, turn with me to John chapter 3 and verse 36. We need to obey that we stress a lot. We stress obedience a lot, as we should. This morning we're talking about why. Why do that? To show our love, to enjoy the blessed Christian life, and number three, to keep us from being lost so that we can be saved and go to heaven. In John chapter 3, in verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath eternal life, but he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life. That's that life that we've been talking about. But the wrath of God abides on him. Now we've got a problem. Now we've got a negative situation. The wrath of God. And we don't want that. We don't want to face that. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. We want to obey because we don't want to face the wrath of God. We don't want to face what we read here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, rendering vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord. Let that sink in, friend. That's some serious situation. You know, hell has fallen on hard times today. We don't like to talk about hell. We don't want to hear about hell. I've read articles before and from various denominations, and they're saying, please don't preach to us about hell. That, you know, we don't want to hear about negative things like that. Do you know who had more to say about hell than anyone in the New Testament? Loving Jesus. Jesus, the loving Savior. He had more to say about hell than anybody. He said more about hell than Paul did, than Peter did, than James. Jesus spoke about hell quite a few times in his ministry. We need to obey to avoid the horrors of hell. It's described as a flaming fire that is never quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. It's described as weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's described here in this verse that we just read as being away from the face of the Lord, all that is good and right, when we obey not the gospel. You know, Peter raises a question that would be good for us to think about this morning. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. As we go throughout the day, think about this question. If the righteous is scarcely saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Just think about that as we go throughout the day. Where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Where will they appear? Is there any question about that? Is there any doubt about the answer to that? No, we know what the answer is. Jesus tells us and others tell us. It's hellfire. That's where they'll appear. And so we obey to keep from being lost. We obey each and every day so that we can be saved and go to heaven and we can avoid the horrors of hell. Turn with me to Romans chapter 2. We don't have to be lost. It's just a simple reason to obey. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 8, start back in verse 6. Romans 2:6, rendering to every man according to his works, to them that by patience in well-doing, here's your positive side, well-doing, obedience, you seek for glory and honor and incorruption, eternal life, heaven. But unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that works evil, of the Jew first and also to the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Just a simple reason to obey. We don't want to be lost in hell. We want to go and be in heaven. It's the gospel, Colossians 1 and verse 5. That gives us the hope of heaven. The gospel and obedience to it gives us that hope of heaven, because the hope which is laid up for you in the heavens, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. The hope of heaven is laid out for us in the word of the truth of the gospel. Also in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. Who wants to miss heaven? None of us here do. There's not a one here that wants to miss heaven. Well, then let's get up and obey each and every day. It's what God puts before us as a great reward. Well, three simple reasons to obey. It's not complicated. We talk a lot about obedience. We sing about it, trust and obey. It's a great song. But why? Have we stopped to think about why? Number one, it shows our love. It's a proof that we actually love God and Jesus and ourselves. It is a way to enjoy the blessed Christian life now. And we're running out of days. We're running out of time. We can be now, today, that blessed Christian life. And number three, so that we're not lost in hell, but saved in heaven. As we sing the song of encouragement, I surrender all, it's good for us this morning to remember that. And if you need to surrender and come and be baptized into Christ, please do that. Surrender your will for these three simple reasons. And as Christians here this week, let's go out and obey. When I was younger, I heard, even from some close to me,
about this idea of y'all are always preaching about obedience and keeping commandments and things like that. Why do you do that?
Well, the Scripture tells us to preach on those kinds of things.
But we've seen this morning three simple reasons to do that. And that's what God wants us to do. And as Christians, let's surrender this week to His will and be obedient each and every day. If we can help you, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?